Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Hey,
Thank you. This week
you're talking about part of the name of your show, the legacy part.
Yes.
Legacy that matters.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And you want to start the show with some personal news.
Yeah. We talk about legacy. I talk about estate planning all the time. And as a matter of fact, unfortunately, I watch a lot of clients pass away and families come in, but this has taken a far more personal touch in my family's life recently. My mother-in-law has recently passed away, so my wife's mom died a couple weeks ago, and we've been in the middle of going through this grieving process and watching the girls lose really their first grandparents. So both of my parents are still alive, and my girls are 24 and 25. And I have for many years told them how blessed they are that they have all four grandparents still with them in their 20s. Mm. When I was 19, I lost my last grandparent. Mm. So I didn't know any of my grandparents in my 20s or later. Mm. And so it's been a very special gift that God has given us that that our parents have been around for so long. But you know, this is the cycle of life, unfortunately. It's the hard reality that we don't like to face. We don't like to face our humanity and the frailty of our humanity. But we do understand that this life has an end date for all of us, and none of us know that time. None of us know that date. I've often joked and said, I'm not so sure I would want to know exactly when my end date is. I think I like that God reserves that from us, and that we walk this journey with hope and expectation. We walk this journey of life doing the best that we can. But when times like this happen, when we are face to face with the reality of death and the frailty of our human shell, it really pulls in a different perspective, doesn't it? And I'm sure that many of our listeners have gone through family struggles and individuals passing away. I know that there's many out there who have lost spouses. So my father-in-law and mother-in-law were married for 57 years.
Wow.
And so now my father-in-law faces a new reality of what does it mean to do life alone when now he's in his young 80s. And that's a hard thing to grapple with. My wife is faced with the thought process of, well, what does it mean that I don't have a mom to call anymore? Right. And my daughters face the reality of, what does it mean that now my grandmother, who we relied upon and were very close to, that relationship is missing? And the perspective and the heavenly perspective that we have that says our hope is not here on this earth, but our hope rests in a good and gracious and merciful and kind God, that when we put our trust in Him, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, then that gives us, I hope, a different perspective of what it means to walk this journey of life. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through a time of grieving. As a matter of fact, I believe it's Isaiah, I don't have it off the top of my head, but that Jesus, He's the one who bore our griefs.
Right.
And so, therefore, the grieving is a human reality. It is a known commodity. It is an expectation that as we go through this life, grief is going to be a part of our lives. Now, the question is, what are we going to do with that grief? How will we turn grief into songs of praise? How will we turn grief into the next strength that we move forward with? Or will we allow grief to become the calling card of our life? Because I've known clients who have lost loved ones, and grief became their calling card instead of a moment in time, instead of having that hope that we can turn to a loving, kind, gracious, merciful Savior who really has on the cross taken our griefs. Mm. And we can have a supernatural exchange in these times, in these difficult times, of walking through this process of grief. And I tend to be rather pragmatic about death because it's what I deal with all the time. Yeah. And so I'm not exactly sure what it's going to mean for me to lose my mother-in-law that I've known for 29 years, someone who is very near and dear to me, and someone who took extraordinary care of my girls. And I tell you what, if you want to win my heart, take care of my girls, right? Mm-hmm. And so take care of my family. And so she has a special place in our heart. And so it's been a little bit of a journey here the past month. She was in the hospital for a month before she finally succumbed to her illness. And so it's been a unique journey over the past six to eight weeks with her getting ill and then passing away. Therefore, I just want to dedicate this show to her today.
What was her name?
Maria Vasilaș. Mm. And my wife is Romanian. And so when I was a missionary in Romania, my wife was my translator.
Oh.
At that time, Maria had already come to America, and so had my father-in-law. But my wife was over the age of 21, so she was unable to demonstrate to the U.S. government that she was going to be able to she didn't get the same green card, let me put it that way, because when she was over the age of 21, no longer dependent upon my in-laws, then she had to make her own way to come to America. Well, then I came in.
Yeah.
So it was just God's gift waiting for me in Romania. And so my in-laws are 100% Romanian. My wife is as well. And so yes, Maria.
Does she speak English pretty well? Or?
Yeah, Maria did. Okay. As a matter of fact, she had an elder home. So she took care of elderly in her home for many, many years.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, we had her memorial just last night, and I believe that this show is going to be aired tomorrow on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So we're doing this Tuesday. Oftentimes we actually prepare these more in advance, but this is actually going to be a show that is aired this week. And so we just had her memorial on Monday, and I was one of the speakers in it. In an Eastern European memorial, then it's very much like a church service. So we had a two-hour church service last night in her honor that was just focused on her, and I was privileged to be one of the speakers. And, you know, one of the things that I focused on was that she really did live a life that amazed me. And as we talk about this frailty of life, I really want to bring to the table the idea of what a true legacy means. And that's really why I wanted to talk about legacy today. We'll move into some other things, some other biblical concepts of legacy. But just at the beginning, I want to share with our listeners a little bit about Maria, about my mother-in-law, because these are the things in life that I believe truly, absolutely matter. And so you asked if she spoke English, and my follow-up was, yes, she did. As a matter of fact, so she had an elderly home, an adult family home, I guess is more technical.
One question, maybe it's, how come so many, I've noticed that many people who come here from other countries start adult family homes?
Yeah. And, you know, I believe that there is a standard of care of the elderly in other nations that we may have lost.
Yeah.
And
you have the patience for it.
Well, yes.
And the care and compassion for their elders.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. So my discussion last night was around one of the topics was around that very specific issue. And that, you know, I have not met a lot of people in my lifetime that I truly look at them and I go, that's an amazing person. I'm not so sure that that's not a sad thing to say, that I haven't met all that many people that have amazed me. But my mother-in-law absolutely amazed me. And it really, one of her hallmarks Well, there's three major hallmarks that I focused on. Okay. Number one was her generosity. She was just so amazingly generous. The other one was that she was truly an intercessory prayer. And then this other one was that compassion and that servanthood that you're talking about. It is a rare gift to be able to care for other people that really society has cast aside, society has made a judgment on. She had people under her care that did not know who they were. They had dementia to such a degree that they could no longer speak. They could only babble like a small child. And to watch my mother-in-law care for that person with no reward other than, and it was, that person was under state assistance. So when you're under state assistance, the state paid my mother-in-law. And I am telling you, the amount of money that the state pays someone to be cared for is very, very small. So she was not in this for the money. Yes, she got some financial compensation, but the amount of care and compassion and love that she showed each and every individual that she watched over was truly unbelievable and truly amazed me. And it was really one of the hallmarks of her life was that she was compassionate and she took the time to care for individuals. In that servanthood, she would be very ready to give. As a matter of fact, that maybe that's that servanthood, that the generosity, that maybe they're so intertwined that they became almost the same type of love and concern, which is, if you're in my home, I'm going to take care of you. And I take care of you because I'm a generous spirit, because I desire to give of myself. You know, 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let everything you do be done in love. And when my mother-in-law took care of somebody, this scripture jumps at me. Everything she did was motivated out of love and not out of an alternative motive. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become wearied. Let us not become tired in well-doing. And I watched this woman continue to give and continue to give. She had her own health issues, and yet she chose to continually give to other people and work through those things, put those things aside, and look at the person and determine that that person was more important, not because of what she would receive. As a matter of fact, in all three of these giftings that she had, in generosity, in that servanthood, and in being an intercessory prayer, all three of those issues require an individual to, in as a starting point, to be selfless. That we must put ourselves aside in order to operate in those characteristics. And that is truly a hallmark of what Jesus did for us, is that he set aside his glory. He set aside his kingship, and he made the choice to leave heaven and the throne room of God and become man and put on flesh and identify with humanity and the difficulties that we have and the frailties that we have, including and to the point of death. And if there is a reflection of what that means, I believe, and I truly mean, that I found that in my mother-in-law. And it is a legacy that we can build as a family, a foundation on, to say, I will choose to continue to give in generosity, to serve other people in a selfless way, and in such a selfless way that I will go before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, and ask that his majesty and his power touch other people. Because when I do that in my private place, there is absolutely no reward that I get from man. And that is truly selflessness.
Legacy that matters this week. Fine tribute to your mother-in-law. Again, she sounds like she was just a real powerful individual. And I'm sure she will be missed in your family.
Thank you, yes.
We are going to continue in just a moment. People are listening to the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Of course, spiritual legacy there, financial legacy. People have issues that they may be dealing with in their family. We want to be sure everything's buttoned up and ready to go. As they go maybe on to the next life, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Yeah, legacy matters, and we have to be proactive in legacy. It's not something that just happens because it happens. And so as an attorney, as an estate planner, we'd love to be able to have that opportunity to sit down with you and make sure that not only your spiritual but your financial legacy is well in order and that it's communicated so that the easiest transition can take place when this time happens, when it is our time to go home. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. You can communicate with us upcoming educational sessions and all of our past podcasts. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week with Paul Grant, dedicated to his mother-in-law who just passed away here recently, and some of the differences between financial legacy but also spiritual legacy.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, there really is a difference, and we need to have both of them working in tandem. We can't have just one over the other or focus on one. We need to set a course and a destiny and be intentional. You know, I believe Christianity is intended to be an intentional act in our life. As a matter of fact, we need to intentionally come before the throne room of God and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Going to church is not just your get out of hell card, you know, free get out of jail card, right? We need to make a decisive, proactive choice that Jesus Christ be our Lord and Savior. And so even the very inception, even the very beginning of our spiritual lives must be intentional. And then as we grow in our relationship with Christ, it has to be intentional. None of this operates by osmosis. None of this just simply comes to pass. As a matter of fact, how we are designed is that we actually live in this world because we see it, touch it, smell it, hear it. Our natural reaction, our default, is to become more like the world, because this is where we exist. And it actually takes an intentional act to become more like Christ, to be able to have an intentional relationship takes intentional work. As a matter of fact, the word says, "Work therefore to enter my rest." The work is not to drum up and do things of servanthood just for fun. It's the intentionality of building our relationship and entering into the rest of God Himself. What type of rest? Well, when we intentionally seek after him, then we become more knowledgeable of him, wisdom, understanding, that we gain more insight to who he is. And by that, we begin to take on more of who he is in our own life, is that transformation, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, is what Romans 12 says. So we need to have an intentional act to get into the Word of God, an intentional act of allowing faith to become our calling card, and allow our faith journey and the personhood of our faith, that spiritual man, that spiritual woman inside of us, to arise in strength. And by that, we can overcome the world like Jesus overcame the world. He gave us that capacity. So we are crowned with glory and honor, is what Peter says. And so with that crown of glory and honor, that authority, that position in God himself, we are then given the strength by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us that we were sealed with, like in Ephesians 1, that we can become more and more like him. But because we live in this world, it must be an intentional act to enter into his rest. It must be an intentional act to come unto our Heavenly Father and take on more of him. Otherwise, we will simply default to what everyone else around us says. We will default back to what the ways of this world tell us. We will default back to our upbringing. We will default back to the easy way. See, unfortunately, walking in our spiritual lives is work and more difficult than defaulting to the lives of our flesh. But the rewards are far greater when we chase after the one who has given us all of this capacity to be able to be more like him. And by being more like him, then very much like my mother-in-law, she was able then to set herself aside because she was secure in her relationship with God and focus on somebody else in prayer. She was able to set her own needs aside and focus on somebody else because she had strength within that came from her relationship with Christ, not because she tried to exert more of her own willpower. And then she was able to serve other people with compassion and love that was in her because of her relationship with Christ. And then she was able to set aside things of this earth and be generous with what God placed in her hands because she knew who her provider was. And so really the drill, this calling that we have is to not chase after the things around us, but to chase after the one. In order to truly give love, we need to chase after the one who is love. In order to give compassion, we need to be able to first chase after the one who is compassion. In order to give generously, we need to chase after the one who has defined generosity because he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes upon him shall have eternal life. I love that because it's not a hope. It's not just I hope I have salvation. It's a shall statement that when we come before God, that we shall find him. We shall have salvation. And all of this drives to a spiritual legacy. But yet, in the same token, when we are secure in our relationship, there's many other scriptures that I can think of, specifically surrounding generosity, that when you give, that it shall be given back to you by the measure you give, shaken down, pressed together, overflowing shall man put into your bosom. And so as we find the one who is generous and we begin to demonstrate that generosity in life, then it is a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law that we invoke that says, when I give to the work of God, when I give selflessly, then I have invoked a spiritual law that says, then I can receive by the measure I have given. I don't chase after the overflow. When I focus on the overflow, then my purpose and the reason that I'm doing it is off-centered. But I chase after the one who is generous. Mm. And by that means that spiritual law says that I will be generously provided for. And that creates the legacy, the financial legacy that we also want to take care of. So in today's discussion, in honor of my mother-in-law, Maria, be generous. Strive after the one who calls us to be his own. And by chasing after him, we will be strengthened in his image and we can give him to a dying world.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant this week on the Legacy and Faith Show, Legacy That Matters, leaving a spiritual legacy, most important of all. But if people need some help also with their financial legacy and yes, estate planning and other issues, how do people get in touch with you,
Paul? Head over to the website, legacyandfaith.com. Past podcast educational opportunities coming up very shortly, legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.